Our scripture reading today is from two passages. The first one is Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, which is found on page 1097 in the Pew Bibles. The heading here is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, starting in verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Second passage here is Romans 3, 21 to 26, found on page 1180. Starting verse 21. But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus.
Well, in our morning services, we are revisiting what has become known as the five solas of the Reformation. Sola is Latin for being alone or being only or solo. These are our themes that happened after the Protestant Church split off from the Catholic Church. Technically, was excommunicated, kicked out of the church for trying to recover these themes from Scripture, and they're themes that are important to our Christian life and walk. They're important, they're central to who we are. Out of the Reformation came these, that we are restored to God. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And we know this through Scripture alone, and all of this salvation is ultimately for God's glory alone. So you've got grace, faith, Christ, Scripture, and the glory of God are the five themes that we are reviewing in our morning services right now. Because it is the 500th year anniversary when Luther nailed his 95 theses on that church door and sparked this reformation of the church. Now, of course, what we talked about last week, grace, and what we're talking about today, faith, connect together, right? And we saw this in the passage from Romans 3 that Matt just read. Grace and faith are connected there. I want to begin with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. This is the passage we read last week, and we read a bigger part of this, but just these two verses, I have it on an overhead slide. Just to remind us, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. This is a gift of God, and it's not by works, so that no one can boast. So there we have faith and grace together in the same passage. So I want to briefly, by way of introduction, just review with this passage in the front of us. What's grace, and how do we connect this with faith? Remember, grace is that unmerited favor of God. God's just disposed favorably towards us, and it's a gift of God. it's a character of God. We talked last week about how grace involves getting good things from God that we don't deserve. And God empowers us to do what we otherwise couldn't do. And makes us who we otherwise couldn't be. So God is not a cosmic vending machine where we do action A and God has to do action B, or we give him X and he gives back Y in response. God simply gives because it's his nature, and he gives us before we ever have anything to give to him. We can't twist God's arm into blessing us or manipulating God into getting what we want from him. We do this so often. This is kind of how we default to as human beings. We can't earn his favor by doing deeds like serving people or giving money. God does not owe us anything, but he gives us everything. And this is what we mean by God's grace. We talked last week how there's kind of general grace and there's special grace. There's common grace, or there's a grace that we all experience, and that's just the fact that we exist. God didn't have to make us. God didn't have to make this world. He was completely delighted and contented and fulfilled in his triune Father, Son, Holy Spirit nature as being God. But it's his disposition to say, I want to share myself with others. I want to create and have others join and participate in the glory that I have in and of myself. And so we all owe our existence to God. There's a common grace of our existence, a common grace of God provides. He feeds us. He clothes us. Everybody experiences that, and that's God's gift. We don't deserve it. None of us did anything beforehand so we could deserve existing. It's just what God does. He fills our lungs with air and he keeps our hearts beating. And all people really should be worshiping God just because he exists and we exist. And he gives rain and sunshine, family and friends. Special grace is a gift of salvation, of not only existing, but now you exist in Christ. Now you don't just have life, your heart's beating, your lungs are working, but you have life in God, in Jesus. You're part of his family. You're part of that triune family. Jesus is your brother. God is your father. You're just welcomed in this special way. And that is the grace that is saving, the grace that is shown through us, through Jesus, who paid for our sins by his suffering and his death. This saving grace is a renewal of creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Restoring the bond between us and God that we broke down starting back in Genesis 3 when we fell into sin. This happens by God's grace alone. And we spend so much of our time earning things, right? So that's why this is hard. We spend so much time exchanging one valuable thing for another or giving others what they deserve. I mean, we do this when we buy groceries and we pay our bills, when teachers grade papers, when employees pay their employers. That's how we relate to each other, but it cannot be how we relate to God. And because God is gracious, because he doesn't owe us anything, he gives us grace, and then he says, now, I want that to trickle throughout your relationships with each other. So it's not just an economic exchange of goods and services, and that's not the only way that you love each other, but now I want you to be merciful to other people because I've been merciful to you. I want you to forgive other people because I've forgiven you. I want you to show grace because I've shown grace to you. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 here. It's by grace you've been saved. Now let's add these two words, through faith. It's not from yourself, it's a gift of God. Faith is the human instrument that embraces this. Faith is the human activity That's exercise that connects us with God's grace. Here in Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells a story. And what does it tell us? He tells a story to people that were really not confident in God's grace. They were confident in themselves. Okay, and they said, you know, God, I'm pretty good. I'm a good person. You know, you hear this often. I do all right. I'm a lot better than that pathetic person over there. I'm glad you didn't make me like him. I'm glad I'm not like him. Look what I do for you, God. Look what I do for you, God. And that's the way some people approach God. There are other people that are aware that they're so inadequate, that their sin interferes with their relationship with God all the time. Martin Luther was one of those kind of people. If you know the story of Luther, he became a monk because he wanted to please God more. And he thought, well, that's the way you do it, right? You devote yourself to serving the church and serving God. That must be the height of gaining righteousness and feeling good about yourself and just thinking you're in right standing with God. And Luther found himself doing what this person is doing in Jesus' parable. He's like, this is terrible. I can't do it. I just need your mercy. I just need grace. And when he saw that, he could see that other church leaders around him were acting just like these Pharisees in this parable. God, I've got it pretty good. God, you owe me a lot. God, I've done so much for you. I just have heaven and its blessings coming out of my own merit, out of my own works. So Luther struggled to be right before God, to be in right relationship with God. And his spiritual advisor said, well, you got to keep reading the Word. You got to keep reading the Bible. And he read this passage, Romans 1, verse 17. In the gospel, righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And so Luther and other reformers re-asked these questions. What does it mean to live by faith? What does it mean to have this capacity to receive God's grace? Now, at this point, I want to say there are ways we go wrong. And so let's say, what is Christian faith not? Based on Ephesians 2, we cannot say that Christian faith is just another merit. It's just another way we deserve God's grace. So I have faith, and that's what's earning my right to have God's grace. It's not a work of merit that would let us boast about it, about ourselves. So whatever this faith is, it's a capacity, but it's not something that earns anything. It's not that, well, my faith is what actually makes God's grace work. It's kind of inadequate without me or anything like that. Faith is a receiver. Faith is a grasper. Faith is an embracer of the gift that God gives us of his grace. But it's not something that earns it. We don't have faith and then we get grace. God gives grace and we receive it by faith. Faith is also not something that we manufacture. We don't say, well, I just got to kind of gird my loins and I'm just going to believe in a brute force effort. I'm going to say this thing over and over and over. I'm going to work really hard and create faith. That was kind of what Luther thought he was doing when he was going to become a monk. You know, these guys spend every day reading and praying and studying God's Word. They just saturate themselves in God's Word. And he found that the more he did that, the more he saw how much of a sinner he was. The more he was in God's Word, it didn't just make him all righteous, it made him more aware of all the ways he was inadequate. And so brute force effort can't ever accomplish our salvation, our right standing with God. And so faith isn't something that we do to earn merit with God, and it's not something that we manufacture. It's not something that we create. What does Ephesians 2 say? This is a gift from God. God gives us the capacity to receive his grace. It's all from God. And that's why we don't boast in ourselves. We boast and we glory in God alone who has given us all of this. Finally, there is a strain of faith belief that really almost puts confidence in your confidence. You have faith in your faith. Like, if I believe hard enough, then this will accomplish things. If you have enough faith, then you will be healed of your diseases. If you have enough faith, then you won't have any financial problems. If you just have enough faith, and this human capacity to receive God becomes something in and of itself that's disconnected with God, and this happens about every Christmas time, right? We have shows that say, you just got to believe, and they don't say what you're supposed to believe, but, you know, it might be Santa Claus, it might be in just the magical spirit of a holiday. There's a corner of truth there. We can't lose our wonder and our awe. But we have to have wonder and awe in the things of God, not just any old thing. Some people do think that if you just believe, it doesn't matter what you believe, but if you just believe, that'll be good for you. And psychologists have used the word faith today just to say a kind of a belief that things will get better in your life, right? Kind of a general hope that whatever you're going through, the difficulty you're going through, that's not meaningless, but something good is going to come out of this. But it doesn't matter if God exists or not or anything like that. Just a general disposition that things are going to go all right. We need that in order to get through our problems, right? So Christian faith is not meritorious. It's not something we manufacture. It's not simply belief in belief. It's not just redundant and turned into ourselves, like the Pharisee in Jesus' parable, confident in our own abilities, confident in our own righteousness. So let's look at defining Christian faith. What is Christian faith? What is faith? Well, there's the classic definition giving us in that well-known chapter about faith in Hebrews 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. There's sureness, there's a certainty of what isn't obvious right in front of us, like my hand or this pulpit is, but it is just as true and it's just as real as these things are, and it's the grace of God. And then the author of Hebrews goes on to say, this is what the ancients are commended for. And then story after story, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, how they lived by faith. How they received God's promises and they believed them. How they heard God's direction and they followed him. How they lived by faith. And so living by faith doesn't mean that I just have a bunch of ideas up here, and I kind of agree with God, but I don't live it out. Live by faith includes faith and faithfulness. All of these work together. Don't separate what shouldn't be separated. Our catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, has a great answer to this question. What is true faith? Let's read the answer together. What is true faith? True faith is not only a knowledge and conviction that everything God reveals in His Word is true. It's also a deep-rooted assurance created in me by the Holy Spirit through the gospel that out of sheer grace earned for us by Christ, not only others, but I too have had my sins forgiven, have been made forever right with God, and have been granted salvation. So faith has a knowledge dimension to it. We know, and a conviction, but also something that drives us deeply in assurance, a comfort of the gospel. So think about knowledge kind of being content, but conviction being commitment. Faith is not mental assent. And this is what, unfortunately, if you think about some of the problematic problems of Protestantism, some people think faith is simply intellectual assent. Yes, I agree with that. Agreeing with a truth statement is not quite faith. Because what does James say? Even the demons believe that there's a God, and they shudder. So believing that God exists isn't faith. Believing in God, having that commitment, having that conviction that I'm benefiting, I need God, I need to follow Him, I need to be connected with, I need to be connected with Christ. Believing in a person, having confidence in a person, depending on that person for your well-being, that's faith. And so we've got knowledge and then we've got conviction. And the Holy Spirit's chief work is to grow faith in our lives. One more, just reference, John Calvin has this great quote. I really appreciate his definition of faith: a firm and certain knowledge of God's benevolence towards us. So there is your connection to grace. Founded upon the truth of the freely given promise in Christ, both revealed to our minds and sealed to our hearts through the Holy Spirit. I'll try to illustrate faith a little bit by giving some quick analogies. And one of them that's I've found helpful is a satellite dish. Some of you have satellite dishes to watch television. And there's two things that you need to have for a satellite dish. There's components there, but a satellite dish needs to be shaped a certain way to receive a signal, and also needs to be aimed in a certain direction. And our faith needs to be shaped in a way to receive God's grace. And we need to be aimed towards Christ. So we can't just put faith in anything. It needs to be directed towards Christ, and it needs to be shaped in a way that receives His benefits, His blessings, His mercies, His grace. That's what faith is. It is our capacity to receive what God has given us. Faith leads us to see grace, God's grace, but also to see truth. And when we're honest about ourselves, we're honest about our situation, we will have humility. Jesus says, as a conclusion to His parable, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. If you think a lot about yourself, if you're all about what you deserve, you're going to be humbled. But if you find yourself in need, lacking in something, aim that towards Christ, and you will find yourself one day exalted in His presence. Faith is connected with human humility, and faith enables us to embrace the gospel. Romans chapter 3 talks about this faith that receives the righteousness that comes from God as a gift. It's not us keeping the law. It's Jesus Christ who kept the law perfectly and then gives His righteousness as a gift to us. And through faith in Him, we now have life in Christ. And so, if this is true, if all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God, then all ought to be more like the sinner and the tax collector than the Pharisee in Jesus' parable. And we receive that, then we are justified by His grace. Through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ, one more word, redemption. We know what redemption means. It means to purchase something, to redeem something. Jesus Christ purchased our salvation on the cross with His life, for our life. His death covers our death. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection. This is the good news, and this is the facts, this is the knowledge, this is the reality that we receive as we aim our faith towards Christ. I pray that if you don't know this, you will find this and discover this, because it's God's word is full of this. How to have faith in Jesus Christ, how to aim ourselves, and how God shapes us to receive Jesus and all his benefits.